Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey there, it is Friday, July 24th. So yesterday, I took a flight from San Francisco to Boston on Delta, and I got upgraded. Again. I only fly Delta now because of the rewards. I mean, at this point, I don't remember the last time that I didn't get upgraded to at least Comfort Plus. Look, I'm not trying to sound cocky here. It's just about, like, it's become so routine for me that I sort of expect to get at least some sort of a bump, which is kind of the whole point of what I want to talk about today. Because I used to buy the cheapest flight I could find regardless of the airline. If Spirit was $40 cheaper, God rest its soul, then I flew Spirit. I was completely airline agnostic, and I thought that was the smart move. But then my friend Daniel hooked me up with Delta Gold status, and I started getting upgrades. So now I fly Delta even when it's not the cheapest option, because the whole experience that I'm getting feels like way more value than what I'm paying for. I know, like me sitting here saying this, I probably sound exactly like the customer that Delta designed this system to create. So I looked into how airline loyalty programs actually work as a business, and the numbers are so absurd that they actually change the way that you even think about what an airline is. Here's an interesting fun fact. Delta received $8.2 billion from Amex last year, just from their credit card partnership, which is more than the airline made from actually flying people. Think about that for a second. The loyalty program isn't even a perk attached to an airline. The airline is actually just a delivery mechanism to attach people to a loyalty program. Okay, so let's get into it. The business model behind airline loyalty programs is one of the most elegant money-making machines ever designed, and it works because most people, including me until this week, didn't understand what was actually being sold. Airlines create frequent flyer miles at essentially zero marginal cost. A mile is not a unit of distance or a unit of currency backed by anything tangible. It's simply a number in a database that the airline invented and can produce in unlimited quantities. They then sell those miles in bulk to banks and credit card companies at rates that typically range from 1.5 to 2.5 cents per mile. When you swipe your Delta American Express card at the grocery store and earn miles, what actually happened is that Amex bought those miles from Delta, paid for them with the interchange fees collected during a credit card transaction, and then they gave them to you as a reward for using the card. The merchant raised the prices slightly to cover the interchange fee, which means everyone pays a little bit more for groceries, whether they have a rewards card or not. By the way, really quick, today's episode is not on interchange fees, but the high level of it is that when you swipe your credit card, the merchant that you swipe at, so let's say you buy something at, I don't know, Target builds a small little margin into the price of the thing that you bought, and that is then paid to Visa and the bank that they use to run their card program. And that little, small interchange is then sent to you to fund your rewards program, just so you know. I should actually do an episode on cards. I think I'll do that next week. All right, let's get back to this though, because the scale of this is really hard to overstate. In 2025, Delta received $8.2 billion in cash from Amex, which represented about 14% of Delta's total revenue and roughly 1.4 times its adjusted operating income. American Airlines received $6.2 billion from its credit card partners, about 4 times its adjusted operating income. Delta's own executives have described quarters where the credit card revenue was the difference between an operating loss and a profitable quarter, meaning the airlines would have lost money flying people if the loyalty program hadn't covered the gap. One financial publication summarized it by saying that if you strip out the loyalty machine, the core airline is, quote, at best, a break-even business, end quote. During COVID, when planes were grounded and revenue collapsed almost entirely, the airlines proved just how valuable their loyalty programs had become by using them as collateral for emergency financing. Okay, this is the part of the story that blew my mind. Because United raised $6.8 billion by securitizing Mileage Plus, which is their loyalty program name. Delta borrowed $9 billion against SkyMiles. American secured $10 billion using AA Advantage. Or is it AA Advantage? I don't know. I don't really fly American. But regardless of how it's pronounced, American Airlines securing $10 billion is the largest airline-backed financing in history, at least at that time. In their loan filings, American valued AA Advantage at roughly $24 billion and United valued Mileage Plus at about $22 billion. Think about that for a second. The points program, a database of imaginary units that the airline created from literally nothing, was worth more as collateral than the fleet of physical aircrafts sitting on the tarmac. Wall Street analysts have noted that in some valuations, the loyalty program alone is worth more than the entire airline. The planes, the routes, the employees, the airport gates, all of it is worth less than the system that tracks your miles and sells it to banks. When I got my Delta Gold status, I thought I was getting access to a nice perk. What I was actually doing was enrolling myself in a $26 billion financial instrument that generates more reliable revenue than selling plane tickets. The profitability gap between flying people and selling miles is actually staggering. Airline ticket margins typically run between 2 and 14%. Loyalty program margins run between 39 and 44%. The most profitable thing an airline does isn't transporting you from San Francisco to New York. It's just selling the miles that you earned on that flight to a bank that already paid for them before you even booked the ticket. The financial engineering is only half of it. The other half is the behavioral psychology that keeps you loyal even when it's not in your best interest. And I say that as someone who is currently experiencing it. Like I said, I fly Delta now even when another airline has a cheaper fare because I don't want to, quote, waste a flight on a carrier where it won't count towards my status. That's the sunk cost fallacy in action. I've already invested flights towards gold status. So switching airlines feels like throwing away progress, even when the cheaper flight on United would actually save me more money than the upgrades on Delta is worth, which I'm going to double check that because I don't know, like Delta says that Comfort Plus is like a $100 upgrade and I've been upgraded to first class before and that's at least a $500 upgrade, depending on how long the leg is. But anyway, the program is designed to create exactly this feeling, and it works on nearly everyone who reaches any meaningful tier. The variable reward schedule is the other mechanism, and it's the same one that makes slot machines feel addictive. To be honest, I don't get upgraded every flight. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I usually find out about Comfort Plus upgrades like, I think, 48 hours before the flight, and then if I do get first class, that's usually known to me like 24 hours before. The unpredictability there is actually more psychologically compelling than a guaranteed upgrade would be, because the anticipation and occasional surprise trigger a stronger dopamine response than a predictable reward. If I got upgraded every single time, it would probably stop feeling special within a month. Because I get upgraded sometimes, every boarding pass to me feels like I won a lottery ticket. And then there's breakage, which is the industry term for points that are earned but then never redeemed. Between 15 and 30% of all loyalty points across the industry go unredeemed, either because they expire, because the members forgot about them altogether, or because the redemption options aren't compelling enough to bother. Pre-pandemic, McKinsey estimated that roughly 30 trillion miles were sitting unredeemed in airline loyalty accounts worldwide. Those redeemed miles represent revenue the airlines already collected from the banks that bought them with zero cost of fulfillment because the passenger never flew. That is literally pure profit from a product that was never delivered. The value of the miles themselves has also been quietly declining. A recent report found that the payback value of reward redemptions, meaning what your miles are actually worth when you use them, has fallen by about half since 2019. Airlines are making it harder to earn miles on cheap tickets and more expensive to redeem them for flights, which means the currency that you're accumulating is currently being devalued while the behavior it's designed to produce, loyalty to one airline over price shopping, remains fully intact. You are working harder for the points that buy less, and most people don't notice because the occasional upgrade to Comfort Plus feels like the system is working in your favor. I know this, and I'm still flying Delta on my way back on Sunday. By the way, the thing about some tickets not being eligible for points, I get this completely. On Delta, if you buy Delta Basic, which gets you a ticket on a flight, and that's pretty much it, that does not actually accumulate points for you. And it also doesn't make me eligible to get upgrades, which is the number one reason I never book Delta Basic. It's insane how they got me trapped in the system. The thing that reshaped how I think about this is the COVID collateral detail. When everything got shut down and airlines needed emergency cash, they didn't pledge their planes or their routes or their airport gates. They just pledged their points programs because that's where the real value lives. The airline is the thing that gets you to join the loyalty program, and the loyalty program is the thing that actually makes money. Like I said, I got upgraded, and it felt like the system was rewarding me for my loyalty. That Comfort Plus seat that they put me in was already empty, so I can't imagine it cost them very much. But for me, it was everything. The math works great for Delta because I'm going to keep on booking Delta flights with the hope that there is an empty Comfort Plus seat and I get on it, or ideally even a first class seat. Delta's got my loyalty, so ask yourself, which airline has yours? And if you don't, think about whether or not you want to join the system and maybe start getting these upgrades. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.